When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First thing I said to Ann when we woke up on Sunday was, my wife. first thing. Obviously. Oh,
that's hilarious.
She took the water from the bedside table and just threw it in your face.
I've been waiting years.
All right. We have to start.
I know.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host because I have one simple philosophy in business. If the seat is open, the job is open. Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Special Projects.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse administering massage. All right, if you need it, if you don't, whatever. Just talk to him. He's a person, Mr. Alex Ward.
I mean, no offense, but are there a lot of Irish people living around here?
Yes.
Oh, hate that. No offense.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, after we cover our main topic, we'll go to the conference room where we'll answer a couple voicemails. And then we'll finish up the show with some listener-provided trivia. This week's main topic is Nellie Bertram. Nellie Bertram, played by Catherine Tate, who attended the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama.
Catherine the Tate.
Dame Judi Dench attended.
Oh.
Before The Office, she had her own show called The Catherine Tate Show, sketch comedy show, that ran for years and then went on to do another show called Catherine Tate's Nan, where she plays Catherine Tate's Nan, I think. I haven't watched it, but I did watch the first episode of the Catherine Tate Show. It is hilarious. It is
oh,
so
really?
All right.
I got to check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, what platform can I find this content on?
I watched it on YouTube.
Oh.
For free. Illegally. And I'm sure there's a better version out there. I mean, she has gone on to do so many other great things. I mean, she was on Doctor Who for a while. But Nellie Bertram, who is really only in a couple of seasons of The Office with a brief appearance.
She's in 8 and 9 with technically she shows up in 7 mm-hmm. during mm-hmm. Search Committee, but she's really mainly in the back half of season 8 into season 9. She's present back half of season 8.
Yes.
Nellie is a really, I mean, continuing our list of character profiles, Nellie is a very unique character in how late she enters the show and then the extent to which she becomes a permanent part of the Office ensemble and environment. The fact that she appears in basically every episode from the, you know, or almost every episode from the beginning of the Florida arc all the way through the end of the show, she just kind of becomes a fixture of the cast, which mm-hmm. doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's her and then Clark and Pete in season 9.
Yeah, and even because Clark and Pete are just in the one season, they feel like almost like Robert California, like they're just there for a season and gone. Mm-hmm. But to be installed as a multi-season mm-hmm. cast member, yeah, that's not, I mean, they kind of cut that off after Aaron and Gabe. And then maybe we can't even say Nate's not even doesn't even show up enough to count like that. So
yeah.
She is really brought in to the cast and the family with wide open arms, but not so much for people in the office, and honestly, not so much for fans. I mean, let's be honest, Nellie's When you just Google Nellie Bertram and you get those Google results, a lot of them come up and they're like, why is Nellie the worst character on The Office? Or, hey, who's the worst character on The Office? Who ruined The Office? It's like she's this Yoko Ono of the show. And I'm not really here to hear it much more. I mean, I get it, but I don't think it's fair.
Sing it. Preach it from the mountaintops.
I think that, like, certainly, I think we've talked about this before, Edwin, when you can see writers writing the show. And the way that Nellie's character flips at one point kind of just tunes you into her being almost like a device to, like, drive the story forward. They needed a goofy boss in Florida, but now in Scranton, when Andy is unhinged again, they need someone who's, you know, a straight, sympathetic character. And that's kind of where I have a problem with Nellie, because it just seems like she becomes whatever they need her to be.
Yes.
Yeah, the way that she's introduced in the show is it's very strange, I think. Or in a way that doesn't really set her up to become a fixture of the cast. I mean, coming in, you know, her first appearance is in the search committee at the very end of season 7, and or at the tail end of season 7, and she's just given the comedic lines in her interview in the way that Ray Romano's character, I think his name is Merv Bronte, Warren Buffett, Will Arnett, Robert California, they're all kind of in that moment just given funny lines to say in the interviews, and we certainly don't expect her to come back. And then she does in season 8. In a very in a managerial role, like you said, she's an executive. She's a friend of Joe Bennett's, filling this vice president role. So she does have a lot of power. And then after that, she comes back to the office and just kind of takes on the manager seat, and that happens until the end of season 8. And then she just kind of becomes a person who works at the office, and Andy can't fire her without cause.
She just sits at Andy's old desk and does, I mean, by her, what she says is like, bring me back to do special products or special projects, and I'll just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And he's like, you sly bastard, and hires her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird, because that's how that ends on season 8, on that tone. And then in season 9, it's like right back to Andy hating Nellie again. And it is weird.
The slackline part.
Yeah, it's, oh man. I mean, I'll say this up top, but I honestly would have preferred if they just kept Nellie manager in season 9 and gotten Ed Helms off the show. Because
yeah, I agree with that.
100%. I rewatched a lot of season 9 today for this, and
barf.
Andy is just a different person who I hate. He's not funny. He brings nothing to the show. His character is just a terrible person, which isn't who Andy Bernard was. Like nothing really happened to Andy that would make sense for him to be like this now. And I'm sorry, like, I think there could have been a lot better comedy with Nellie as boss. Like, I mean, for all the people say about her, the more you watch it, I mean, really, she has a lot of Michael Scott in her. Like, the way she presents herself, the things she says, the kinds of, like, insecurities and sort of problems that she has with her own self, which we kind of learn in little bits. And we have to learn that in a much more compressed timeline than we do with Michael Scott. But honestly, I don't know. I feel like there was probably more there when she was boss that they could have done, but they didn't.
There is, Sorry to.
No. That's it.
There is.
I'm also looking down at this book to get to the Catherine Tate part.
Yeah, there is. It's funny that you mentioned the Michael Scott-isms, because there is something of him in her character, which is like the very long. She doesn't do it in Talking Heads all the time, but she does it sometimes. These long speeches with like really funny comedic turns, kind of in the middle. She has a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
When they're trying to convince Val to get back together with Daryl, she says, no, that is not all. Let me tell you what real life is like. The men dry up and the nights get lonely. The only calls on your machine are for collection agencies about that pair of motorcycle boots you never even wore. You stalk your old high school boyfriend online, go to his daughter's soccer games, and make a scene. You buy a diamond ring for yourself, wear it on your right hand, and tell yourself you're all you need. One day you're alone, tired. At your feet, a dying bird. But where did it come from? Why did you kill it? Is it because, in some strange way, it is you?
I mean, that's the thing. She has so many funny little lines. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really
him, like, you say. Don't think a woman can be a leader. Yeah. You poor simple boy. Expected a man,
poor,
did you?
Poor simple boy. Huge whopping penis.
What an entrance.
Yeah.
Really incredible stuff.
There's a lot of that to her character. I know.
Stop looking at my breasts. Start looking at my penis.
I love it. And she makes fun of Ryan from the very beginning.
I love it.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous doing it like a little boy.
Yeah, but then
reach
where's
for
my
his
balloon?
Where's my balloon? Sorry in advance, by the way, for all the bad British accents.
Yeah. I think
it's bloody horrendous, isn't it?
Well, in that same little like huge whopping penis monologue, she flips it on like just mid monologue, just switches to like directing her anger at Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I interviewed to be manager for your branch after you decided I wasn't a good fit. It was. I went on a shopping spree, very destructive. I bought 13 pianos. Then I realized, what if Saber had a store? So I called Joe, old friend, founder of Saber, and I told her, and she grabbed me by the shoulders and said, yes.
I love it.
That, I think...
So many changes. So many.
13 pianos. That drop of, she grabbed me by the shoulders and she said, yes. That one, I think, a lot of times when we're preparing to start the show, Alex says, can you hear this? And he plays a drop just to make sure we're all good. Yeah. That is one that gets used a lot for practice.
I do use that one a lot.
Yeah. What we're going to get to is a lot of us recounting funny Nelly moments. But I think, you know, part of the reason that she doesn't have, she's not a fan favorite is that, like, they do so much to draw her character, to sketch out who she is as a character. And this is what you were talking about, Sean, when you were talking about watching writers write and not, like, you know, watching somebody type at a computer. But, like, you get to see the character, like, it feels like they went back and wrote the character a few different times. And because like the process by which we learn her motivations and what she wants in life and what motivates her and that kind of thing happens in a weird way. It happens so slowly over the course of the show. And like we get moments where she's kind of supposed to be like endearing or we're supposed like when she buys tacos to be friends with Daryl, you know, and eats it wrong. And Daryl's like, she's trying. Moments like that.
Yeah.
Moments like that, like, that all happens so in such a condensed way. It happens over, you know, a season or two. And it's hard to get the same sort of comfort with the character in that way. Especially after they go from being villain to part of the team, like, overnight.
I mean, this is what, like, again, this is from Andy Green's Oral History of the Office book, but like all the writers and cast members, when they talk about her, I mean, the common thread is A, she was totally underutilized. It was hard for her to find space in that cast. I mean, when Steve Carell leaves and like the writers are talking about, it's like, oh, we need a story for Oscar. We need a story for Kevin. We need to do the whole Dwight and Angela. Mm-hmm. We need to really rev up their story at the end. Jim and Pam are doing their stuff. We got this Brian guy thrown in there. Like, take all the Brian stuff out. Give me some more Catherine Tate, please. But it sounds like that is overwhelmingly what the feeling was, both on and off set, was like, we have this British superstar. We need to use her. We don't know how to do that, but we have her. And what everyone's saying is like, she's like the Steve Carell of Britain. Like, she's a huge comedy superstar there. And she comes over. People don't know who she is, but like Mark Brooks, who plays Nate, was like is saying how stoked he is to work with her, because she's like this like Steve Coogan level superstar, super versatile, but it was hard to make her stand out, and then she felt like an add-on, and which is not her fault. And I feel like that's kind of what audience views her as, this sort of, why is she here, which is exactly who her character is in the actual show too. It's like, who is this woman?
They go kind of out of their way to have the episode where Nellie and Pam kind of become friends, and Pam says she's kind of fun, like,
yeah.
That almost feels like a very direct attempt to try to integrate her into the cast more.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a challenge because she's doing a job that we've never seen in the show before, special projects. She could be doing kind of anything at any time. Like, she doesn't have the same sort of structured role. I mean, granted, look, it's a comedy show and they're making everything up as far as like sales and accounting and HR, like, but the, like, they don't give her like an actual department and they don't seem to give her any day-to-day responsibilities outside of picking a charity and running a paper airplane contest. Like, she never actually has anything to do. Right. Not even on screen as like a, as an actor or actress, but like as a character in The Office, what does she do? We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely working in Florida when she was basically the Michael Scott of that, you know, environment.
Of the Florida arc, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I mean, Alex, to your point that like she's underutilized, go and watch that first episode of the Catherine Tate Show. She plays such wildly different characters and accents and like every different wig she puts on, she's a totally different person. I mean, she just seems like she's an incredible actor. And I mean, I just think that Nelly in Florida is hysterical and I love that character. And just, not that I don't love who she becomes later. I mean, like you feel sorry for her as this punching bag of Andy's. I just don't, I mean, it just, it's just not that interesting. It's, I mean, her storyline about trying to adopt a child is, I think, a nice heartfelt storyline to have. And that I'm sure a lot of people relate to. And I'm
this
sure,
plays out in Work that, Bus, and she's trying to get signatures right. from Andy. And
because we, I mean, we've just got all this stuff in The Office. You've got, you know, Jim and Pam's love story, and then like starting a regular family. It's nice to, you know, it's important to have someone like Nelly who's trying to start a family in a different way. It's just that she's such a powerhouse. It's like kind of a shame, a comedic powerhouse. It's kind mm-hmm. of a shame that she's like sort of a straight character.
She doesn't have enough time or like enough of a true arc and development to really land as a true member of the ensemble, but she's also in it too much to be a scene stealer in the way that Nate and like Gabe and some of the other characters are, where they can right. like it's okay to only go to them sometimes.
Or I like mean, when Packer's yeah. there, everyone knows Packer's there. Right. And then he's gone, or you know, but what like, if, yeah, she's always in the. And then she just becomes part of the fabric.
What if we started having like serious, sympathetic Todd Packer storylines?
Yeah,
like, who wants that?
Like, he fakes him out. He fakes him out of like you know that he's in
like,
recovery.
Hey, he's struggling with his alcoholism. Yeah. He's trying to like you know rekindle his relationship with his daughter.
No, he just lays the food.
Like I don't need that.
We I don't know when we'll but Packer lacing the cupcakes as the B story in the farm
That's
is
crazy.
Like is so funny to me still.
It
like
is.
That. Yeah. But yeah, I think
she gets some really good shots in. I mean. I love the entire plot of Andy's ancestry is based around Nelly just messing with Andy, saying like I discovered her related to Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. Great prank to play on Andy of all people. But like again, Andy's so destructive and terrible by this point in season 9 that it's like I say, I wish they would have like committed to her as manager maybe and moved Andy back to a salesman or just had him like leave the show after season 8 or something. Just again, I just think she could have deserved a bigger stage, and I just she's really funny. She's just really funny when she has like that's why that in Tallahassee when she gives that speech and she's in charge of the people and they're all trying to impress her, she's so funny. She's so much like funnier than she is in season 9, and I feel like they could have kept that going if they did it right.
There, I think on one hand it might have been more effective if they brought. If Nelly was just assigned by Joe Bennett to the Scranton branch to do special projects, because she just shows up there and Robert right. says, you know, to say nothing of Andy's not here and she has a great relationship with Joe Bennett, my boss, which is only ever brought up like a couple times.
Yeah.
And like if she was assigned there for some other reason and just become a part of the cast, that would be better. At the same time, you lose the part like where it forces Andy out and Andy has to go to David Wallace and you know all that kind of stuff but you know, there's so much friction that happens between Andy and Nelly at the beginning that, like, you don't start liking her. You don't start rooting for her, mm-hmm. you know, as a viewer, yep. I think, it makes it challenging. Although, you know, she does have really good dynamics with a lot of characters. Like, I think her dynamic with Dwight is really funny, the way mm-hmm. that they do the 127 hours thing. And you don't have a plan. and Here Comes Trouble in season 9, where they have the talk about the anxiety pill that he finds.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And Dwight has the, Dwight puts the peanut butter all over his face. He dog catches Meredith. Stop bagging my head.
Stop bagging my head.
Don't dog catch me. Yeah. and then,
stop
of course.
Stop bagging my head.
She has a good relationship. She has a friendship with Pam. That's fun. You know, her relationship with Toby is really funny in that, like where Toby says, they don't have what we have. She says, what we have. She's, I kissed that man. Like, she realizes, you know. Or then later.
Up, Toby's great.
Or when they go to marriage counseling and Pam, like, Jim confides in Toby. And Pam confides in Nelly. And Nelly says, did you know that marriage counseling is the only kind of counseling I've never had? And then at the end, Toby and Nelly meet up. And they debrief. They're like, whew, they deserve each other. You know, mm-hmm. It's like she has good dynamics with the other characters. Like she has.
Totally.
She can be the driving force behind funny scenes. The prank call at the radio station. You know?
Oh yeah,
like,
of course.
She can do all of that. So there is a lot of versatility with her character. It's like too much too soon.
Yeah.
But they actually set that up to make sense too. When she does, like, she comes in as manager and she kind of wins over most of the people with the whole raises thing, mm-hmm. and kind of appeals to like who everyone is, in a certain way, and is like, fine, like we'll talk about money. And even Jim, who's like, you don't, and Robert's like, what, let me guess, you want one too, take the family to Disney Town? World and Jim's like, land. Well, yes, I would love a raise, but that's not the point. Like, she just kind of gets in there through the back door, and honestly it makes sense with, like, you know, we know Michael Scott was a good salesman, but we know he also doesn't spend his time doing work for 95% of his day, so it would make sense that someone like Nelly could come in and keep the branch running, I mean, quote unquote running, without having any real ability to do it. I mean, she owns up to that. She's like, that's the American dream. Someone with no skills, no prior job, no ability to do it, no friends here, is able to get the job that didn't exist. Like, that's the American dream. It's completely random and it can happen to anyone. The show kind of uses that as justification, but it doesn't hold up over the course of a full season and a half.
It's how I came to briefly race Formula One race car.
Three slowest laps ever recorded. Hint of pride. A hint of pride on her voice.
Yeah, she just gets in a Formula One car. She has a lot. She has so many funny lines. When you go through like all the moments, she has a lot of
absolutely.
Yeah, I think she's. Oh, you found Benjamin. That's the box where I keep pictures of Henry.
And they're like, why wouldn't you stop it? The whole magician thing, and then we get Brett Gelman in the episode. Why is Jim treating the magician poorly? I mean, the common thing we're talking about, I think, like, she's funny when she's, like, in charge and pretending to know what she's doing. That's when she's funniest. And so when she sort of just becomes another person at a desk, she doesn't make much sense. So I wish they kept that going a little more.
I think too, like, I think we're naturally going to have a more favorable viewing of Nelly now because we've spent so much time with the show.
Yeah.
And we've watched so much. And I think a lot of times, I mean, look, I when people say that they don't like Nelly, I think a part of it might be they're like, who is this character? Why do they have so many lines and why are they saying this? And who are they? Like, there's a little bit of that. They're not part of the fabric of the show in the way that some of the other characters are, you know? Yeah. But, like, on repeated viewings, I think you just kind of get used to it. You mm-hmm. get used to her being there and knowing kind of what she's going to say and when she's going to say it. And, it just makes it, I think, more palatable over time.
The question is, like, did we need Nelly? And I think the answer feels like no. And that's why people generally don't like her. It's like,
I mean,
did we need another character in The Office?
I mean, it just goes back to the whole problem with 8 and 9. Is that to they had a shotgun approach to solving Steve Carell leaving the show, which was, we're just gonna like, we're gonna give everyone a storyline, we're gonna add new characters. And it's like, then you just, and as a result, I think none of it is, it's quantity over quality a little bit with adding Nelly as a character. It just, they added a bunch of stuff and then they didn't really know what to do with her. And
but it's also like, she's so good, you don't want to just let her walk away.
No, you can't. No.
Yeah. So
I think, I don't know that the show necessarily approached it with, well, Steve Carell is gone, we're going to dial up everything and throw all this extra stuff in. I think when Steve Carell... My bad. I think when Steve Carell leaves the show, there's a vacuum. And what happens is the ensemble is now a bunch of way more developed characters, and you've got to tell stories for each of them. You have to tell Oscar stories in a way that you didn't in the middle of season four or season two or season one. Same with Phyllis and Creed and Gabe and Aaron. Like, you have all these extra characters, and like, you have to tell more and more of their stories together, especially without like a quote-unquote main character like Steve Carell driving so much of the action. You've just got more and more characters' stories to tell. And then you add in, you know, Pete and Clark as well in season nine. And, you know, I think... you know, I imagine that there were a number of different ways they thought the show would go. And, like, you've got... You just have too many stories to tell. Too many, like, to service all the characters.
I see. And that's actually, like, that's where I have a problem with 8 and 9, too. I know we're getting off topic from Nelly. But, like... It's this like, oh, you have to service all the characters. It's like, for who? For just for the actors? Like, I didn't need a
for you and me,
dramatic,
Sean.
What's that?
For you and me. For all of us.
No, I don't need a dramatic romantic storyline for Aaron where she's having to choose between Plop and Andy. In season nine, like if I was like, oh, I just want more Aaron in the show. That's not what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't mean that I want her to become like a sympathetic character. If I want more Oscar and Angela in the show, like, I don't mean that I want them to now get invested in a very serious storyline about like this affair and everything. So,
What do you need, Sean? Tell us what you need.
I'm just saying that he needs
Plop to accept this rose.
I think this could be a controversial opinion.
Oh boy!
I think that you make a show
whopping penis.
I think you make a super successful television show for 7, 8, 9 years
easy
with an ensemble of super talented actors. And after a while,
say less. Yeah.
There's this feeling of, you know, that like, you know, like, you know, Oscar really thinks that his character should, you know, have this storyline. And like, I almost think that it's all for the actors. And I think that what would have been the right thing to do was say The Office is about a super boring paper company with a super interesting, idiotic boss. So it should just be Nelly.
Yeah.
It should just be Nelly. Like, Andy is just V2 of Michael Scott.
But a like, way worse version.
Especially super worst version. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Nelly is something.
If Michael Scott was actively mean-spirited to people, that's what Andy was in season 9.
Right. But I'm just saying, it's just like they just bring in another. I mean, he's just so similar to Michael in so many ways. Like, just, I mean, he just looks like Michael. He's just, you know, the same white dude. Like, it would be nice, like, to all of a sudden have a British lady. It's something new. Like, I think, and she's way funnier also.
Yes.
And more mysterious too than Andy. That's another thing that Nellie has going for her, is she's mysterious, that where you're just like, with Daryl and Michael Scott, what happened to you in high school?
Yeah.
It's like,
why does she need the gold Arabian slipper?
Yeah.
Well, that what happened with MasterCard?
The 13 pianos. When Jim and Dwight are helping her move her stuff, and it's like, it's pretty ham-fisted, because it's like, they're literally going to like, Holland Cube. They're going to spill a box of pictures and like figure all this stuff out about Nellie. It's very like, oh, you only have one season to get this done. But I wish they'd allowed her a little more time to explore that, because it did feel a little rushed. Like, we got to get her in here. We got to give her her origin story, why she is how she is. And it's like, you don't necessarily need that, at least that aggressively that soon. So I agree with you, Sean.
Thank you.
Amaroni. Yeah.
Got one.
I do think on some level, you know, you do kind of need to give the characters a satisfying ending. I mean, that's part of, you know, having such a long show like this. But it's really difficult in the finale to do that. Like, that was such a challenge of it, is that there's so many storylines you got to put a button on, and they have to wrap up in a certain way. And sometimes you can only do it with a line here or there.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens to be that there's a baby for Nellie to adopt.
We haven't even mentioned maybe her entire purpose is that she becomes the mother of Drake Howard. So Drake Howard doesn't grow up in an orphanage or something.
I do think it would have been funny to see a season of Nellie as manager. I think that would have been like a pretty fun season to watch, like in an alternate universe sort of thing. That would have been really fun to watch. I do agree that Andy is so sour at the beginning of season 9. You know, it's hard to like him the same way. But yeah, I don't know. It would be funny to see, to your point, like other versions of The Office that are like a pretty mundane, normal workplace with a crazy boss.
Yeah,
you know, similar to Michael, similar to the way that Nellie could have brought. You know. Cool.
Any other?
I mean, hey, what else?
Hey,
this is all. I mean, this is it, man. The thing about talking about Nellie is we end up talking about should-haves and could-haves, and
yeah,
you know.
It's because
we're talking about season 9 is what is really happening with Nellie. And
you can't talk about Nellie without talking about the way the show changes in the end, because she changes so much even in her short 2-season period.
And they did season 8 with James Spader as the new boss. He goes out, bringing Catherine Tate for season 9 as the boss. Maybe you keep going. New season.
You know what would have been nice is if Catherine Tate went to a role similar to Ryan or Jan or David Wallace or Joe, like a corporate figure that Andy has to report into. You know? Maybe not having the same sort of angry Andy, punch the wall sort of, like, maybe you didn't have that same buildup, but maybe there's a version of this where Robert leaves anyway, and at the beginning of season 9, the new person that's overseeing the Scranton branch is actually Nellie Bertram, and Andy has to report to her, and you know, without the whole stealing the manager job kind of thing. That would have been really fun to watch. Andy has to go to Florida every now and then, the way that Michael had to go to New York.
Meet with the other branch managers.
And to watch Andy tap dance for the crazy Nellie, like, would be fun to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in the same way that Dwight was trying to audition for the VP role or something like that, that would have been fun to watch. Yeah. Do you guys have any, I mean, I know we're kind of wrapping to it, but like, were there any sort of, did you change your mind or think anything new about Nellie in your preparation for today? Like, going back and watching all the Nellie scenes or looking at the moments, like, anything new come to you?
It wasn't necessarily a new thought, but just the appreciation for her quotes. Like, I mean, they can be so rapid fire, and they're so full, chock full of jokes. I just found so many quotes that I loved of hers. I'm picking random ones now, but I mean, certainly Get Out, Skeleton Man is such a great.
Happy birthday to Gabe.
This is another such a Michael Scott quote of the, like, I can't be hypnotized, Wyatt. I tried it, only ended up smoking more. Yeah. That's such a Michael Scott quote.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
Take a man's job, but leave him his balls. Margaret Thatcher said that. Probably. Don't know. Don't read. Didn't see the movie. Like, that's a Michael Scott line.
That's what I'm like, saying. You know there's what I so mean? Many that are just yeah. like, she's nailing it. Just like in the same way. It's just, she just came so far out of left field. We don't treat her with the same reverence as Michael Scott. Nor should we, given his contribution
yeah,
to the
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
but
course,
like,
of course.
You know what I mean? I think with time, she could have fulfilled a very similar... She could have scratched that itch a little bit better than Andy did, for
a
sure.
A similar presence, a similar vibe, follows very along with the confidently incorrect kind of idea.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. If you read her lines just on the page, you can hear them in Steve Carell's voice, you know? I'm not allowed to say it's mandatory. Let's just call it compulsatory. Perfect.
The way that she leads the paper airplane contest is pretty funny. And a good example of that, the way that she can kind of lead an event. We have seven fierce competitors and one Toby. There's like a lot of funny moments mm-hmm. that happen there. And mm-hmm. Angela advances. Yeah.
And so, she has the sort of like simmering desperation to like have a child and like a partner and not be lonely in the same way that Michael Scott was. Like they have the same needs, and like that cast can work wonders with those needs. And it just missed.
She also provides the Filipino reference on the show. The newer Pam.
She wants to set Pam up.
He'll be and Filipino, but we'll tell her about that later. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. Mabuhay. Yeah.
What does she say? Hold on, I'm looking up. What does she say about when Packer swoops in at the very end to take the VP job
mm-hmm.
and is promptly fired? And she's like, whatever you do, like, don't blame Todd Packer. It's not his fault. Blame his upbringing, his parents, the society that would mold this idiotic creature. Fire the employee, yes, but not the man. You may not cancel his soul. Robert California. That was never on the table.
I always love Nelly is kind of part of this, but is when Dwight is listing off all the roles in the Test the Store episode, and Dwight says, Packer, you will be the sexual predator who has come to prey on the trendy teenage girls who are obsessed with the pyramid. And Todd Packer says, and Nelly says, that is excellent. And Todd says, I don't see what that gets us, but I'm a team player. Perfect casting, right? Says Dwight. And then Todd says, shoots out to get me, but I'm playing the long game. As soon as he messes up, I swoop in like a sexual predator.
Can't put me down. Too strong.
Gator nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. Drop. I realized I should have gotten. That's is a useful drop. Is Jim gets Dwight a gift, and when they're out golfing, when he gets the VP job, and he puts it on the golf tee and hits it, and Nelly just goes, he doesn't even care.
Don't even care.
I need that. I need that drop. It's going to be good on our show. He doesn't even care.
Like, you are a real
Archibald. Footage. I need it.
I need it.
You're a real Archibald and his man, George. Doesn't exist. Yeah.
The little like English references.
You call that
has.
A King James pie.
Yeah. You look like the goat of Dover, which also doesn't exist.
The way she eats the tacos with Daryl. Yeah. I mean, it's just all. Mm-hmm. Mm, it's the physical comedies there.
Please don't let them have eyes. she says, I survived. I think she was talking about a breakup or a divorce. She says, I survived with a lot of shepherd's pie and brandy, the singer, not the drink.
all Michael Scott lines.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I survived I'll just with tell shepherd's you, pie just... and brandy. The singer, not the drink.
Yeah, that's such a Michael Scott. Before we wrap this up, I just want to tell you guys about one sketch in the Catherine Tate Show. There's like she's just walking home with this guy, and she's like, "Well, you know," they're like, "Oh, I had a great time," and she's like, "Well, good night," and he's like, "Well, good night," and he's like, "I might not want to go home just yet. Maybe we could have another drink or something," and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I would invite you in and sleep with you, but I'm just not drunk enough." And he's like, "What?" And she's like, I'm just not drunk enough to find you attractive. I really wish I was." He's like, "But I brought you to the Munich Beer Festival." And she's like, "I know. And I drank so much." I was arrested twice. But I'm still not drunk enough. Like, it's so funny. I highly recommend it. I'm not giving it nearly enough, doing it nearly enough justice. But there you go. There you have it. Nellie Bertram. Hilarious character. Catherine Tate.
I'm interested to know what people think about Nellie, because she is kind of a divisive character, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
but
sure,
I think we're
sure.
kind of aligned in how we feel about her, and then yeah. and the all the funny moments she brings to the show.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a quick break, and we'll go to the conference room for a couple voicemails.
This episode is brought to you by Talkspace. It can be really difficult to seek help with your mental health. Whether it's the fear of opening up to a stranger or the thought of friends and family judging you or treating you differently. But meeting with a therapist to work on your mental health is just as helpful as hiring a personal trainer to work on your physical health. And the positive impact can be just as life-changing. I think therapy is incredibly important. I highly recommend it. I've done it myself, and I think it can help just about anyone. So if you ever thought about it, I would highly recommend you seek it out, try it out at least once. It can be a huge, huge change and benefit in your life. Talkspace provides a convenient, stigma-free experience. Meeting with a therapist should be as ordinary and judgment-free as going to the dentist or working out or anything like that. It's about self-care. I love that Talkspace makes it easy to connect with a therapist privately and lets you message whenever you need to. It's the benefits of therapy but without the hassle of having to set appointments, waiting more than a week to, you know, see them again. If you've ever wondered about it and aren't sure where to start, you need to check out Talkspace. At Talkspace, your privacy and security are their number one priority. They put you in a private room with your therapist. You can send messages back and forth throughout the day, and they have encryption and added security features to keep your conversation fully protected. So whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, or anything else, Talkspace gives you the help you need to move forward. In reality, you know, it can just be talking. It doesn't have to be about trying to cure or solve any of these certain problems in your life. It can just be really helpful to talk to someone. So that can be a really amazing thing and a really helpful resource. So if you've ever thought about it, don't think twice. It could be a real change in your life. So join Talkspace today and start moving forward with a single message. Just visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code Scott at sign up. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code Scott. For example, it could have been good for Dwight. Well, he was looking into prescription, but, well, not for him. They're for his cousin Mose. He's just having a tough time being wifeless and a high-pressure job and his crazy cousin Mose. Other cousin Mose.
This holiday season, I want to give a gift to my loved ones that makes them feel special and unique, just like the relationship we share. That's why I'm giving everyone I care about Storyworth. Storyworth is an online service that helps you and your loved ones preserve precious memories and stories for years to come. It is a thoughtful and meaningful gift that connects you to those who matter most. Every week, Storyworth emails your relative or friend a thought-provoking question of your choice from their vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought to ask, like, what's the bravest thing you've ever done in your life? Or, if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out? Or, if you were a character in The Office, who would you be? After 1 year, Storyworth will compile all your loved ones' stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I personally love making photo albums with Ryan, with all of our Polaroid pictures, and this is even more than that. It's pictures and stories combined, which is so nice to look back on. So, with Storyworth, I am giving those I love most a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart and preserving their memories and stories for years to come. Go to storyworth.com/Scott and save $10 on your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/Scott to save $10 on your first purchase.
You're a busy person, so stop thinking about what to wear and just embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. The Daily Wear System is a selection of clothes rooted in smart design made with performance fabrics and built to work together. Just like the three of us, hey fellas. From breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear, and beyond, Mack Weldon makes it easy for you to dress for work, leisure, and play, or wherever this winter takes you, even if it's snuggling up at home by the fire. They make a wonderful line of sweatshirts, sweatpants, all kinds of jackets, everything you need to get cozy in. I'll say this for me, what I'm looking forward to with my Mack Weldon clothes, I had a bunch of friends get me back into golf. I used to golf a long time ago. Haven't done it for about 15 years plus, and I'm back in the game, guys. And let me tell you, I went to get dressed to go play golf a few weeks ago, and I was like, I don't have what I need. I don't have the right pants. I'm not wearing jeans out there. I don't want to wear sweatpants. And so here comes Mack Weldon with this the Maverick Tech Chino pants. That's what I got my eye on. Something I can move in, something that's going to look good out there, something that is, you know, water resistant and moves as I do, which is extremely athletically. Or maybe for the ultimate lazy Sunday, their Ace sweatshorts have modern tailoring and pair perfectly with their ultra soft, ultra upgraded Prima tees for weekend travels. Their silver knit polo, radius shorts are the perfect high-tech, highly packable combo. So buy some time this winter with the Mack Weldon Daily Wear System. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/Scott and enter promo code Scott. That's MackWeldon.com/Scott. Promo code Scott for 20% off. Mack Weldon, radically efficient wardrobing.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, fellas, we're just going to kick this off with a few voicemails as our voicemail box is constantly filling up, even though we empty it as much as we can. So let's start off with a couple quick ones here. This is one.
Yes, hello. Am I the 107th caller?
That's it. All right, next voicemail. Someone called.
Fantastic.
It. They just left that and nothing else.
I love it. I need paper. That's the voicemail that we got once.
Oh, yeah, I need paper.
Yeah.
I need paper. All right, this next one. We did have some responses from our Hank episode, as it's difficult to say every moment that the character has, but people obviously were kind enough to remind us of things we forgot. So here's a voicemail from Allie.
Hi. Hello. Hello there. I'm Allie. I'm from Long Beach, California, and I'm just listening to your Hank episode, and I cannot believe that you did not mention this part. Okay, it's the episode when Robert California is trying to get his wife to work there, and Jim knows about it, but Jim is like ducking out at every little chance that he can.
I can't believe we forgot this too.
And there's that part where Jim jumps into his car and tries to leave, but Hank closes the gate on him. I can't believe you guys didn't mention that part. I think it's worth a mention. It is legendary Hank moment. It's probably my favorite Hank moment, the one that stands out in my head. And yeah, that's it. I love you guys' podcast. It's super fun to listen to. I'm a total fucking nerd and listen to it all the time, and all my friends make fun of me, but it's fun. All right, thanks guys. Have a good one.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's so nice. Oh my gosh.
I admit that I have like forgot about that moment. Like, I didn't even know what she was talking about when she started talking about that episode. So
as soon as she mentioned it, like the
this Mrs. Yeah, California, that episode.
Yeah, yeah, Mrs. California. Yeah,
It's just funny that when Hank is like, the times he does take an order or something, and it was like,
hey, Hank, come on, yeah.
Robert California has him being like, don't let anyone leave, and he's like, I'll take that seriously. It's good stuff. Speaking of that, Hank, we also got an email. I'm forgetting the name, but we did get an email, and we were talking about, like, we never see Hank deal with any crimes, and we didn't even mention when Phyllis gets flashed in the parking lot. I think I assume Hank was there at that point. Yeah. I don't think we see him in that. Do we see him out searching in the parking lot? I don't recall if he was. We were remiss to mention. We talked about how no real crimes happen on the premises. We were totally wrong. I totally forgot about that one. Serious crime.
And the place is robbed when,
of course.
Michael, yeah, they say Hank from security had checked out for the night, and that is all we have.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. So it wasn't there, but that crime did happen. But yeah,
Hank is the flasher and the robber.
Shout out to Hank for stopping Jim. Jim's reaction to that is really funny too. All right, one more voicemail here from Patrick.
Hey guys, my name's Patrick. I'm from a tiny town outside Peoria, Illinois. Not so much a question or anything, just more of a comment. But I just listened to the Hank and the voicemail episode, and one of the callers called in and said, hey, what up, Cynthia? And I'm not sure if you guys listen to, like, the Nate Land podcast. There's several other podcasts that do it, but they have, like, a greeting for other listeners. and I thought maybe that might be a great one for fans of your podcast, and if they see in the public, see some of your merch or something like that. So, hey, what up, Cynthia? I also thought that might be a merch idea.
That's fantastic.
Maybe put, what up, Cynthia, on the front of the shirt with your MSPC logo on the back of it or something like that. I don't know. Just cool idea. Thought I'd share with you guys. Love the podcast. Keep it going. Thanks, guys.
Man, thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
That's a great idea.
What great idea
Patrick.
I also wanted to play that one just to yeah, any other like merch ideas are great. Like I say, we're just starting out with the merch. We're kind of figuring it out and we want to make good stuff. But I do like the idea that there's just a phrase that fans of the podcast would know and be able to say to each other. And what up, Cynthia?
What up, Cynthia?
Pippity poppity, certainly.
Pippity poppity. Yeah.
Have you guys
it
ever
gets tough with like trademarked. I feel like Pippity, it might be, I don't know if that's even,
What up, Cynthia's.
What up, Cynthia's pretty
deep
open.
Cut. That's a deep cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you guys listen to the Nate Land podcast?
No, I didn't know what that
is. What that is.
It's really funny. It's Nate Bargatze, the comedian.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like him a lot.
He's great. Yeah, he's a great comedian. It's his podcast. I've only listened to a few of them, but they're very funny. Yeah.
I used to listen to Professor Blastoff. I loved that show. That was Tig Notaro, Kyle Dunnigan's podcast back in the day. But they just were doing so many bits. All their merch store was just their lines. About the best one was just cool beer, which is something to say to someone, a stranger at a party. Oh, hey, cool beer.
What up, Cynthia?
But we need a phrase of something that we say to each other that's not even from the office. I don't know what that would be. So if you have an idea for that, that's not from the office, but
there are a few of them
in our show. Yeah, there's a lot. Remind us of something that we say to each other a lot.
To your point, I say that a lot.
To your point, yeah, that's just, everyone says that in podcasts now, like all the time.
Really? Oh, they must be listening to me.
No,
I will take credit.
I hear it in the low post so much. Maybe that's where it got transferred in there.
Mm-hmm. I think I know where it came from for me, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so let us know what other host phrases we have that could be merchandised, because we are here to make money first and foremost. That's why we're here. All right. Those are all the voicemails I'm playing.
Thank you for sending us voicemails. And
And by the way, I want to say, I'm just running through, I haven't listened to every voicemail we've gotten, but I'm running through the run times. And you guys whipped into shape, because I'm not seeing much over 90 seconds. Let me tell you, you guys are now leaving clean, tight voicemails. I love to see it. Oh, I love to see it.
I know that this is like, like the podcast is readily available over the internet, but it's just so cool that like people are from other places listen to the show and that they call in and that kind of thing.
True.
I have never ceased to amaze me. So thank you.
I want to hear stories if you've met another fan out in public just randomly. Like that I want to hear if that has ever happened or
didn't. Somebody met Sean.
You got recognized by your voice.
I've told this story before, and I can't remember.
Tell it
name
again.
Now,
tell it again.
It was a while ago, but I was just at. At a food cart in Portland, at a food cart pod, as we have many, a lady walked up to me while I was just talking to some friends. This was like before COVID, I think, and was just like, "I'm so sorry. Are you from the Michael Scott podcast company?" And I was just like, "This is so." I mean, it's like in front of my friends too. So
like, who paid you?
Like,
who paid you?
Oh, yeah, right. Like no, but she was just like, "Oh my god, that's so weird." I was just listening to you, and I couldn't help but think that sounded like you, and I knew you were in Portland. And it was just like, "Oh well, thank you so much." Like it's just, and then you both just go about your day, like
okay.
Amazing.
Whereas it's just like I'm just like blown away. I'm like, well, what do you think of the show? Like I just want to like talk to that person more. And yeah, so if you ever do overhear us or think that you see us in public, say
just
what's want
to go up
please.
And talk to Sean.
Yeah,
yeah.
I am aware of the effect I have on women. I can't wait.
Laying on the charm.
Well, I think we should move on to our final segment, let's gentlemen.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Trivia this week is provided by Lonnie from Georgia. Lonnie writes, on multiple occasions. On multiple occasions, guest actors arrive on The Office whose real names and works are mentioned in other episodes. For example, Jim Carrey is referenced several times on the show.
Sure.
So the employees of Dunder Mifflin should have said, "Holy crap, it's Jim Carrey," when the Finger Lakes guy walked in. So here's today's trivia. How many guest actors can you name whose real names or works are mentioned on The Office?
Oh.
Thus creating a guest star paradox. Bonus points if you can name episodes and seasons in which the references occur.
Oh,
okay.
Geez.
Well, how
Note, there's no chicken or egg here. It counts either way. If the actor is on, if the actor reference or the character appearance comes first. Sorry. Go ahead.
How about Idris Elba and Obsessed?
Yes.
Okay. Wait. In season five. Well, Idris Elba appeared in season five, and...
Oh, check it out. Idris Elba, a paradox, another paradox occurs with Idris Elba.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Will Ferrell and Night at the Roxbury.
Yes, that's number one. Good work.
Okay, I'm so glad I got one. I was like, this is deep for me, but...
Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to start with the guest stars. That's like the biggest one. Ray Romano, Everybody Loves Raymond. How about, does it count when Michael talks about Doris Roberts and the place she likes to eat when she's in Phoenix?
How about I can go through, you got Will
Cusack
Ferrell.
Must have been
just think about the guest stars.
Ed Joe Begley Cusack Jr., must have been in
Joan
something
Cusack,
that's referenced.
Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, no, right. Not Rosie O'Donnell. Roseanne Barr. Sorry.
Would Jack Black count? Although he's Jack Black in the show.
Right.
So that
right.
doesn't count.
There's a big guest star is Kathy Bates as Joe Bennett.
Misery. Right?
Misery is probably referenced at some point during The Office, but so is a very important movie, big movie,
big fish,
big movie like a
Titanic,
big.
Yes,
big,
big.
exactly. Titanic is mentioned in Booze Cruise, is referenced in Booze Cruise. Idris Elba. Who plays Charles Minor in season five? Mm-hmm. Was also on a TV show,
Titanic.
Is The Daily Show ever brought up? Like Rob Riggle?
I'm just going to say The Wire is mentioned.
It is.
Michael says I've been watching The Wire recently. I don't understand.
That's right.
You get him
right.
to wear a wire, and then you
you're
flip
right.
him. Yeah.
You're right.
Which is funny because someone also close to Michael was in The Wire.
Amy Ryan.
Yeah, Amy Ryan, of course.
Yeah. One of the first guest stars on the show.
Tim Meadows.
Saturday Night Live.
Yes, of course. Okay. The line from trivia is just, is a bajillion SNL sketch.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That I referenced.
Is Deadwood ever brought up? Stop thinking Timothy Oliphant.
Man, I can't think of when it would have been mentioned, but yeah, Timothy Oliphant. That's
one
a good
of those.
One. That's a good one.
Is Will Arnett ever?
Dave Koechner, Anchorman. I don't know.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of.
I guess Steve Carell, Anchorman.
But
Josh Groban, has he ever come up?
Right.
Yeah.
Some season. Oh, of course. Let's not forget about Chris Bauer, who plays Harry Jenarone, also in The Wire, a third one.
It's nice. Weird that like it's hard to think of the pop culture things that they would be referencing. You know what I mean? That's like the hard part to think of versus the guest stars.
Colbert Report. I mean, you guys are mentioning so many now that I'm like, maybe that is in there somewhere.
Colbert,
Lonnie worked hard on this.
Yeah, is it better?
How about I'm going to mention these last few
people
so that we can get through.
Give us the actors and we'll try to guess the work.
That's
better. So when Pam goes to look for a new job, she finds a manager much like Michael Scott.
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk, who is in a fabulous TV show.
Mr. Show. Or Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, where Ryan dresses as Jesse Pinkman once.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
All right.
Also, Matt Jones, who played Badger.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And David Costabile, who played Gale.
He's the banker.
So,
Gail Bedecky.
Pam's sister, Penny, in Niagara.
Oh, True Blood.
Yes, correct.
Oh,
yep.
Which is referenced, very much referenced.
Yeah, yep. Andy. Yeah, Andy dresses up as Bill, right, from True Blood.
It's funny that Robert California talks about this person, but was competing against him at the end of season 7 to get the job as manager at Dunder Mifflin.
Warren Buffett.
Blank operates the same way.
BlackRock.
Buffett operates the same way. I never allow
Edwin
a sexual
said,
desire.
Said, yeah, I said Ed, that. Edwin said Buffett. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Did you think I meant Jimmy Buffett? That happens a lot.
I heard you say BlackRock. Sorry.
Well, I said that first.
I'm so
BlackRock was like something else that he, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, sorry. Maybe our internet's not lined up here. I never allow a sexual desire to influence a business decision, so I find it best to recuse myself temporarily to make love. Then I go back and analyze the situation rationally. Buffett operates the same way. The pizza delivery guy in season 4.
Kevin McHale from Glee.
That's right. And
also the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
the Celtics were a great team.
I know, you beat me to it. I was just went down to my laptop.
And finally,
the Celtics were a great team.
Finally, Kevin's replacement at the end of season 9 is
Dakota Johnson,
who is from
50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey, which Phyllis listens to.
Yeah, that's right.
And has to be doused with water.
Mm-hmm. And Andy has the same thing. Yeah.
And there's just a note on that one. This one really shouldn't count since the film version of 50 Shades didn't come out until a couple years after The Office ended, but I had to throw it in. Because that Phyllis scene is cringier to me than dinner party Scott's Tots and little Michael on Fundle Bundle all combined. Well, thank you so much, Lonnie. And thank you to everyone who left us voicemails. Please, if you want to email us trivia, email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. 503-694-9314. It sounds like we're going to have to do a voicemail episode again soon.
Yep.
So give us a call. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We have a store, mspcstore.com. We have beautiful embroidered crew neck sweaters with the logo on there. You can get a mug with any character's face on it with our artwork designed by the great Ryan Lloyd.
Stay out of New York, Lloyd.
And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Join us, become a Scott's Tot. It's $5 a month. You support the show. You get a bonus episode, mailbag episode every month, mm-hmm. where we answer questions that we get directly through Patreon.
Ad-free episodes.
There's a whole backlog of those episodes. You get ad-free episodes. We make a donation together to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So please join us on there. Hang out with us. It's a good time. Thank you so much to our Scott's Tots, to our Patreon members. Like, I mean, we can't thank you guys enough. You're what keeps this show going, and we love you. And thanks. Just thanks for being there for us. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd. A special shout out to Anne Groundwater, who
Mrs.
just popped
Mrs.
Ann Groundwater, who just popped onto the screen. Alex got married this past weekend. Congratulations, guys.
That's the sound of my ring hitting my windscreen.
How does it feel? You fiddling with it?
All the time, yeah. I'm just not used to hitting stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm left-handed, so it happens a lot more than often because it's my hand. So,
special thanks to my wife, Ryan, who designs all of our artwork, designs these beautiful mugs and sweatshirts that you can get your hands on now. This episode was recorded over video chat.
Quick note for next week, we won't have a new episode coming out. We're taking a little Thanksgiving break, but we will have our Patreon episode coming out around next week or before the end of the month. So if you're missing an episode next week, now's as good a time as any. But Patreon subscribers, just keep an eye out for that and be prepared to submit your questions. But more important than that, thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us, for spending a little time, for calling in, leaving voicemails, for letting us know any moment that we may have missed, any of your opinions that may disagree with ours. Like, we're here for all of it. So thank you again. We love and appreciate you all. It gives us energy to do the show, and it just makes doing the show like, it's a joy. It's so much fun. We get to hang out together. We get to hang out with all of you. We get to talk about The Office. So what can be better than that? So, take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Bippity poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ooh, hi.
Da-da. Da 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 da